now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Well, today we have an interesting topic of discussion, the Lionsgate activation, the Lionsgate from the standpoint of the conjunction between the Sun, Sirius, and the Earth. Keep in mind that the ancient Chmedians, i.e. the ancient Egyptians, viewed, and I'm sure they got this information from the Syrians or factions thereof themselves, that our Sun and the Sirius constellation are part of a binary star system, that they're two sides of the same coin, essentially. And today is August 8th, 2017, and we are once again in this Lionsgate portal where our Sun, for some weeks now, has been in the constellation of Leo. And also the connection between our Sun and Sirius. And as some of us know, the diaspora that others talk about, how the feline races, the lion races, and all the different feline races, many of them came from the Lyran system. The reptilians came along, blew up the feline home planet or planets, F you very much. And this compelled the surviving feline races to emigrate to different parts of the galaxy, including the Pleiades system, as well as the Sirius system. If you get a chance, read the book by Murray Hope. I think that's her name. She wrote a book called We Are the Lion People, I think it's called, and she also wrote a book about Sirius, the Sirius Connection, I think it's called, which is a very interesting book, and talks a lot about, in that book, about the connection between ancient Egypt and the Syrians, and the lion beings, you know, the felines. So we have that dynamic at work, where we have these energies streaming in from the galactic core, then they're routed through the Sirius system, routed through our Sun. Our Sun happens to be in the constellation Leo, which is the constellation that symbolizes the lion, fire energy, the heart center. A lot of people talk about, oh, well, the age of Aquarius. Well, not so fast. In the southern hemisphere, from what I understand, in the southern hemisphere, the age that people are going to be going into will be the constellation of Leo, the age of Leo, right? And I believe that's significant for some of the reasons I cited, because of the connections to the Sirian energies, and energy streaming in from the galactic core, amplified by Sirius, amplified by our Sun, which happens to be in Leo. And I happen to believe in astrology. I happen to believe that there is an imprinting upon us at the moment of birth based on what star sign we happen to be born under. And I do believe also that what passes for modern-day astrology is but a pale imitation of the ancient astrology, which I believe is probably much more accurate and much more complex than what we know of as astrology today. That much being said, I do believe in the basic tenets of astrology, because I do see the characteristics ascribed to certain people based on their star signs. They seem to be very accurate. You know, people that are water signs, people that are fire signs, earth signs, and the particular attributes and characteristics of each individual star sign, I do believe there is something to that, because it manifests and plays itself out again and again and again in our normal everyday discourse with people of the various star signs. And since our Sun and the Earth are living organisms, and we are being bathed from energy streaming in from the galactic core, and because this energy is routed at this particular moment through Sirius, through the constellation of Leo, that does have a positive impact on us. especially those of you out there that have the feline sensibility, that have the connection to the felines, like a number of people have. It's encoded in your DNA. You know that you have this feline connection, or a part of you is aware that you have this feline connection, and you don't settle for mediocrity. You don't settle for a subsistence existence, just eking out, a pitiable life. You don't settle for or acquiesce to or tolerate the oppression of what are essentially inferior beings, because any being or beings that feel the need to throw their weight around and oppress and persecute and manipulate others is, it by definition, an inferior being. Because a being or beings connected to organic source wouldn't behave in such a manner. They are manifestations of this twisted, topsy-turvy, demonic, if you will, matrix simulation. They're aspects of it, matrix sentinels. And so there's this push-pull. I love that term that Naomi Swan uses, this push-pull between these beneficial positive energies streaming in from the galactic center, which will activate our higher centers. This is one of the reasons why they chem spray the heck out of the place, right? The energy streaming in from the galactic center, routed through Sirius, and before that, routed through the constellation of Leo. And all this is referred to as the Lion's Gate or the Lion's Gate portal. Go figure. So that is benefiting us at a very deep atomic and subatomic and quantum level. And it's helping us to enjoy our experience here as temporarily as Earth humans, even though many of you out there know you have had past incarnations as higher dimensional, in some cases, what we would call extraterrestrials. You also know that you're here to embody existence as a human, as a hybrid human, to be sure. And by doing so, you are anchoring higher frequencies. You are helping to dismantle brick by brick. Thank you, Pink Floyd. This matrix simulation, this soul harvesting, soul recycling system, which the demiurgic forces have foisted upon us for a long time now. So those energies are streaming in. Meanwhile, it's competing, and I believe, at least for a time, will overwhelm, if we allow it to overwhelm from a personal standpoint, all this darkness and all these dark, dense energies which are being foisted upon us by the negative forces. It is no coincidence that we happen to be in the anniversary period of the atomic bombings of Japan, first Hiroshima on August 5th local time, and then Nagasaki, which happened to have the largest population of Christians in Japan, August 8th local time. In the American history books, they always say Hiroshima was nuked on August 6th and Nagasaki on August 9th, but it was actually the 5th and the 8th in Japan because they're a day ahead on the calendar. And so the 8th would have been the Lion's Gate portal opening, coming through in its full splendor. Could have been a coincidence that they decided to drop the bomb on Nagasaki, August 8th local time. And it just happened to coincide with the Lion's Gate portal opening. Could be just a coincidence. Then again, maybe not. The order to bomb Japan with atomic weapons, they called them atomic back then, they did not refer to them as nuclear, that was a later term, with atomic weapons was known as Special Order Number 13. Again, go figure. Special Order Number 13 was issued from the Office of Secretary of War, Skull and Bonesman Henry Stimson, to his fellow bonesman, Robert Lovett, who was Secretary of War for Air. Robert Lovett, of course, was a partner of Brown Brothers Harriman basically financed the Bolshevik Revolution into existence in its previous incarnations. So Special Order 13, number 13, was issued for the express purpose of nuking Japan. Special Order 13 set into motion a number of events in the Pacific on Tinian and Guam in the Marianas Islands. Guam being the headquarters of the 20th Air Force, commanded by General Curtis LeMay. You know, lately he'd been firebombing Japan with his 20th Air Force. So that happened August 5th, August 8th local time in Japan, right around the time in the lead-up to the Lionsgate portal opening. And suddenly they just hammer these two Japanese cities with atomic weapons. And now, fast forward to the present time, and what do we hear over and over and over? We have psychopaths like McMaster saying, oh, you know, we're going to have a preventive war with North Korea. And also, since for some time now, the doctrine has grown to encompass the, quote, tactical utilization of nuclear weapons, and a whole family of newly developed nuclear weapons has come about, bunker-busting nukes, and for some time they had so-called low-yield nuclear weapons, man-portable nuclear weapons. And gradually over time, they've made the unthinkable normal, and then from normal to, you know, quite plausible, or why not? And I'm talking about the utilization of nuclear and thermonuclear weapons, which are hydrogen bombs, much stronger than fission bombs. And they've normalized it now. So you have this small minority who've been manipulated in thinking that nuclear weapons aren't real, because they like to think of themselves, these people that fit that profile. Oh, you know, I'm so clever, and I know that nuclear weapons are a hoax, so they can't fool me, and I'm going to tell everybody about it on Facebook, and I'm going to get a YouTube channel going and tell everybody on YouTube land that I know that nukes are a fake. And so they've taken care of that demographic. They profiled them. They came up with this hokey hoax about nukes being fake. But for the majority of the people, oh, let's say, let's call them the TV news droolers, it was relatively easy to guide them down the slippery slope of acceptance of nuclear weapons as a reality, as something that is inevitable. A nuclear war will be inevitable. A nuclear war is winnable. They've been using that meme for a long time now. I can't find the article. I read it the other day. It seemed to have come from a reputable website of military strategists, military analysts, weapons experts, etc., etc. And because I had to clear the cache because stupid Firefox was messing up again. Why I even use it is beyond me. Probably a form of mind control that, you know, compels me to use it sometime. But anyway, when I cleared the cache because Firefox was causing problems, the browser, I basically lost this website address. But anyway, the gist of it is that these experts looked at the video of one of the recent North Korea missile launches as it descended back down through the atmosphere, down into the Pacific Ocean. The video was shot from Japan, and the experts were looking at this video, and they said, there's no way, if this is the best kind of missile the North Koreans have, there is no way they could put a nuclear weapon on this thing, even if they had the technology and know-how to miniaturize a nuclear weapon. You see, in the nose cone of a ballistic missile that is nuclear-tipped, they have what is known as the nuclear subassembly, right? You have the nose cone, and within it, you have basically the nuclear guts, the nuclear and thermonuclear guts of the weapon, right? And it has to be small enough to fit in the nose cone of this missile. And the nose cone and the missile itself has to be able to withstand the rigors of, you know, ballistic missile flight, and then it has to be able to withstand the rigors of re-entering the atmosphere and still function and work, because it's not like they would have you believe, you know, the TV news droolers think that making a nuclear weapon is as simple as folding a napkin or making a paper airplane. That's how dumb the lamestream public is, because they got the lamestream public hopping around on one leg. They got their lizard brains all activated through fear of being nuked by North Korea, etc., etc. And these experts looked at this video and they said, there's no way the North Koreans, if this is the best missile they've got, there's no way, even if they were able to create a nuclear weapon and fit into the business end, you know, the nose cone of the nuclear missile, even if they were able to do that, their missile would never be able to withstand the rigors of reentry. It would never be able to successfully bring a nuclear payload to a target thousands of miles away and have the nuclear weapon detonate, okay? So they're just ratcheting up the fear. And what's interesting, too, is there's many people that go to China, they go to Korea, and they have business contacts there, they have friends and family there, and they go there and they come back and they say, hey, I talked to a lot of people in China, I talked to a lot of people in Korea. They say it's all hot air. They say there's no war, there's not going to be a war, blah, 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 quack, quack, quack. Well, you see, the problem with that analysis is those Chinese and those South Koreans, they're thinking like normal people. They're not thinking like psychopaths. They're thinking that, no, that this is just saber rattling. The U.S. is saber rattling, and, you know, North Korea, you know, Kim Il-jong, they can barely even feed their own people, right? Much less develop a nuclear weapons ballistic missile capability, right? But they're missing the point. The neocons and neo-libs, whatever you want to call them, they're a bunch of psychopaths. They don't care if North Korea has zero capability of hitting American targets with nuclear weapons or even a conventional payload, right? Even just high explosive crammed into the nose cone of, you know, the business end of a missile, right? Think of the war of the cities during the 8-9 year long Iran-Iraq war. Financed, both sides financed and armed by the U.S., by the way, and its allies and armaments manufacturers, friendly to the West, so-called. Baghdad and Tehran, they were shooting missiles at each other. And, you know, they had the capability, they had real good missile technology, but they didn't go nuclear. Now we're just being terrified with all this talk about the North Koreans ready to launch a ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead on it. It's patently absurd, but it feeds into the fear. The way that the frequencies are working right now, the way the shifting energies and the fear-mongering augmented by, just think of all these Gwen towers, think of all these cell phone towers, think about the 5-gig Wi-Fi wireless network, think about all the carrier waves frequencies being belted out by the powers that want to be, specifically to engender the fear and uncertainty and anxiety response to keep people in the lizard part of their brain. And on top of that, all the TV fear-mongering from the TV news droolers, rather the lamestream news, just tormenting the TV news droolers with all this fake news about North Korea getting ready to launch a nuclear weapon. That's creating a tangible vibe. That's creating a tangible energy. It's real. It's something you can sink your teeth into. And remember, in the spirit world, thoughts are things, and energy is real. All matter is energy that resonates or vibrates at a certain frequency. That's all that matter is. So we have this very real fear vibe that's colliding with all these Lion's Gate, Lion's Portal energies that's routed through the constellation of Leo, Sirius, our sun. We have to stay balanced. We have to stay grounded. And when we do have a little setback, when we have something happen that, you know, maybe it was our own fault, we did something wrong, or we could have handled things differently, or, you know, we allowed our emotions to get the better of us, or we were absent-minded for a moment and thoughtless for a moment, and, you know, something went wrong. You know what? We got to step back and look at it from a higher dimensional perspective. We can't beat ourselves up for it, because these energies that are streaming in from both sides of the polarity spectrum, they're going to, at times, make us feel unsteady, unbalanced, even the positive energy streaming in. If we're not really grounded, really plugged into source, you know, this overload of even powerful, high dimensional, higher positive energies can cause us some level of, you know, distress. I mean, we may be giddy and euphoric and, you know, having a hallelujah breakdown while we're at it, but it could cause us, you know, certain issues, certain complexes that we just have to be mindful of. So, yeah, now more than ever, let's just detach from all this fear-mongering, because I'm seeing the baneful effects. And I saw this before, folks. After 9/11 and then in the run-up to the second annihilation of Iraq, they were amping up they were beating on the war drums. And beating on the war drums has an effect, a malign influence on a lot of people with a military mindset, especially those with a past military background. Like, I knew people in the wake of 9/11, they knew 9/11 was an inside job. They know about CIA drug trafficking. They know that Jack Kennedy was assassinated by the deep state. They know about Roswell. They know about CIA mind control, Monarch, MK Ultra, satanic ritual abuse, etc., etc. They know about all of that. But in the run-up towards the second annihilation of Iraq, beginning, if memory serves, March 2003, unless they tickered with the timeline again, right? In the run-up to the second annihilation of Iraq and in the months and years afterwards, all that, you know, war drum beating had an effect on a lot of people, and it had an effect on people I knew who should have known better, people who themselves were subjected to military mind control, to my lab mind control, to all forms of mind control. Even they were going around and saying, yeah, let's wipe out those ragheads, let's track down Osama bin Laden, or is it Osama bin Hayden? What was his name again? Jeez, been out of circulation for so long. Osama bin Laden. Where's Osama bin Laden? I mean, this one MyLab friend of mine was trying to tell me, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, and I knew this too, that a lot of these mercenary firms, they weren't, some of them weren't too keen about checking the bona fides, the credentials of people who wanted to go and be contractors and work in danger zones and hot spots around the world. And apparently some of these contractors were willing to pay people, you know, good money to go in Iraq. And, you know, we know that a lot of those contractors made money hand over fist, and the services they provided, KBR and these other multinationals, to the troops, right? Support the troops, stand behind the troops. Right, they give the troops contaminated water and overpriced laundry services, and just everything else was just a big joke. But this one friend of mine got it into his head that we can both become mercenaries and we can hunt down Osama bin Laden. And I was trying, yeah, I know. I can hear you laughing in the gallery there, right? All the guffaws, and I can see the two old guy puppets in the Muppet Show looking at each other and laughing up in the balcony, right? But that's what my friend wanted to do, right? And he should have known better. I told him, oh, man, bin Laden's been dead for eons. CIA asset. He wasn't responsible for 9/11. Wake up. No, but the beating of the war drums, the beating of the war drums, the constant propaganda, right? About Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction, 9/11, Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden, right? Yeah, my friend wanted to go to Iraq and sign up with a, some contractor and make a pile of money, and I said, you go ahead if you want, you know. I just hope for your sake you don't wind up in a place, that will be the end of you, pal. You know what I mean? And it happened to others I knew, others who were similarly mind controlled by the military and by the CIA. And they knew that mind control exists. They knew the whole basis for 9/11, the war on terror, was a fraud. But still, the beating of the war drums got to them. The controllers even tried to manipulate me. All right? Haven't told many people this. Few people I've shared this with, but in the post 9/11, and then the run up, all the beating of the war drums vis-a-vis Iraq, and the non-existent WMDs. I had this MyLab experience. Me and a MyLab lady friend. We were in the scenario where we were. I can't remember if we were recce-ing, i.e., doing a recon of a house full of Muslim terrorists, and we were infiltrating the place. And again, folks, this could all be a theater of the mind. It could be just, it may not have been real. It could have just been what I was made to feel, and the emotional part of me was activated and triggered, et cetera. But at the time, it felt really very real. And I know that some MyLabs are utilized in ops that, for all intents and purposes, not, it's in the 3D. It's real, right? And so, but I can't tell you what I'm about to relate to you was in the physical 3D or not, or some kind of theater of the mind, or some kind of alternate reality. I don't know. All I'm going to tell you is that me and this female MyLab were keeping this house full of Muslim terrorists under observation, and then we snuck into the house, and we had no intention of really killing anyone at first, right, or anything like that. We just were doing a recce. We were doing a CTR, close target recce, as the Brits say. And we were hiding in one part of the house, and then we began hearing the screams of a woman who was being violently brutalized, and it sounded like she was going to be murdered by these Muslim terrorists. And I was about to jump up from my hiding place and, try and rescue this woman and kill these terrorists in the process, right? Kill them. But my lady friend, to her credit, she kind of jumped on top of me, held me down, and told me that I couldn't do that because it would compromise the both of us and we'd both be killed, et cetera, et cetera. So I had to lay there, gritting my teeth, listening to this woman scream her head off because it sounded for all the world like she was being tortured to death and raped and all that. And I just remember just. I was crying. I was crying because I couldn't do anything about it. Because my friend was right. Because we didn't have any weapons, and these terrorists seemed to have weapons, right? Automatic weapons. So I had to bow to the inevitable. I had to just lay there and listen to this woman scream as my friend held me down. And then the next morning, I was still emotionally shaken up by it, really upset by it. However, I didn't start thumping on my chest like Tarzan, beating on the war drum, saying, "We gotta fight all the Arabs and, invade Afghanistan, invade, Afghanistan was already invaded by that point, invade Iraq and invade all these other, North African, Middle Eastern places." I didn't fall for it, in other words. They used this psyop on me, whether real or whether contrived, I don't know. I mean, emotionally, I was engaged big time. But it didn't work on me because. Although I woke up still, highly emotional about what I'd experienced the night before in this quote-unquote dream, after I had a chance to settle down, I realized that, no, they're just trying to make me hate Arabs, hate Muslims, and, all that stuff. But I saw this process work on some of my close MyLab friends, right? Females and males, not just males, but females, too, that had ex-military background. and was used in my lab ops in and out of the military. So, and now the point of relevance is it seems to be happening again, where I know some people with an ex-military background and they're freaking out about the thought of North Korea nuking them, right? And again, it just, these are people that should know better, right? These are people that should know better. It's not the enemy way out there or, beyond the horizon. It's not even the enemy at the gates. It's the enemy in the parlor. It's the enemy in the kitchen. It's the enemy controlling the finances. That's where the problems stem from, or at least partially, because ultimately non-human intelligence is responsible for all this. And those non-human intelligences demand their sacrifices. They are wrathful, vengeful, spiteful gods with a little g, and they want their pound of flesh, and they're going to get it any way they can. So their minions, these hybridized reptilian Draco sewer scum, they know where the real power lies. At least some of them do, at some level of consciousness. Even the big shots in front of the camera and behind the scenes. They know that if these dark nether powers were suddenly to withdraw their power, protection, influence, guidance, etc., they would be just turned into a pauper overnight. They would just be a nothing, a nobody, suicided, thrown under the bus. So they're going to do their level best to bring about all these wars and create as much chaos and mayhem and bloodshed as possible, because that's what these dark gods want. And so how are they going to go about doing it, right? Well, there's a book out there. I think I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. I think the subtitle is called The Secret War Against Hanoi, or that's the title itself, The Secret War Against Hanoi. And it talks about the covert operations by the CIA and by MACV SOG, Military Assistance Command Vietnam Special Operations Group. Later, when the Special Operations Group gained notoriety, they're the ones that conducted, one of the groups that conducted over the border, quote unquote, over the fence operations in places like Laos, northern North Vietnam, even China. And the book talks about the secret war against Hanoi, how the Gulf of Tonkin was brought about. They don't say that this is what led to the Gulf of Tonkin. They don't say that this was part and parcel of the Gulf of Tonkin manipulation, but it led directly to it. And what happened was these South Vietnamese SEALs, run by U.S. Navy SEALs, were conducting a bunch of hit-and-run raids on North Vietnamese shore installations, radar stations, etc., along the coast. And what happened was they decided to position these United States destroyers out there, and the North Vietnamese were sending out these patrols, these patrol boats, because they wanted to stop all these raids from the South Vietnamese SEALs and from the Navy SEALs. But, the way this media manipulation works, it was all blown out of proportion. And so we're supposed to believe that these two U.S. destroyers came under attack from these, North Vietnamese patrol boats, and the Gulf of Tonkin resolution is issued, and then the buildup for a larger war in South Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, etc., increases, right? It wasn't too long ago when Dickhead Cheney said that they ought to dress up U.S. Navy SEALs as Iranian sailors and then perpetrate some kind of false flag operation, blame it on the Iranians, and then go to war against Iran, which covertly they've been attacking Iran and messing with Iran and unleashing Stuxnet viruses on Iran for some time now. But the point of relevance is that Dickhead Cheney said this. He said, we got to dress up our Navy SEALs in Iranian naval sailor uniforms and then turn them loose and cause all this havoc and create a pretext. It's always about a pretext to go to war against Iran. So With that model and keeping in mind the model of the Navy SEALs and the South Vietnamese SEALs in the raids that led up to the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and the Gulf of Tonkin hoax, basically. Yeah, I could see something like that happening again. And also, look at the events that led up to the U.S. invasion of Panama, Operation Just Cause. And, let's like rewind. Panama didn't even exist until a Wall Street engineered coup that a lot of it was manipulated and controlled from Sullivan and Cromwell, the bank that the Dulles brothers were managing partners in, Allen Dulles and his brother John Foster Dulles. Sullivan and Cromwell and affiliated elements played a key role in creating a coup where what used to be Colombia was kind of sectioned off and renamed Panama, right? And then because they needed to create this canal through there, it didn't matter how many people died building the thing, right? That's beside the point as far as they're concerned. So they built the Panama Canal to enable the U.S. Navy to send ships back and forth from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean because empire building was in progress, etc., etc. And so they needed to control the country. And as many of you know, they controlled Panama all that time. Noriega was just one of their puppets. Noriega was a useful idiot, and he was a, drug trafficker on behalf of the CIA and Mossad, etc., etc. And when his services were no longer required, when he'd reached his used by date, right, used by expiry date, that's when they decided to kick him to the curb, and that's why they come up with these hokey code names for not even code names, but hokey public names for all these operations. Operation Just Cause, Invasion of Panama to get rid of the brutal dictator Manuel Noriega, who was a graduate of the School of Americas, right, in the U.S. And in the build-up to Operation Just Cause, suppress groan, what they did was they had the U.S. military and the CIA conduct all these provocations. And then they spun it all out, saying, oh, this U.S. Army, female army soldier was sexually assaulted by the Panamanians. Never happened. That was just another lie. But it was repeated endlessly by CNN and the fake news in America. When you consider how often innocent women are raped all over the world, especially bringing in these hordes of these raping entity-infested immigrants, right? But they use that as a pretext to invade Panama, which they themselves created back in the day, carved out of Colombia. And so they decided to take Noriega out. But they had a bunch of provocations leading up to the invasion of Panama, which wasn't really invasion because there were so many U.S. military assets already in Panama, right? There were already many military assets stationed permanently in Panama. They augmented these forces. They brought in a lot more from the states and elsewhere to, bolster the invasion force, so to speak. But once again, you had all these pretexts, these reports that kept coming out of CNN and other fake news outlets of, Panamanian defense forces harassing U.S. troops at checkpoints and assaulting U.S. Female army soldiers and causing all this other trouble. It was all made up, basically. But it was a pretext. And then we look at one of the justifications for invading Grenada, which was a complete joke of a military operation. I believe that was in, when was that? 83, Operation Urgent Fury. Right, was to rescue the medical students there. Oh yeah, there were all these medical students there, American medical students on the island of Grenada, and they're in danger because of the Marxist takeover, so-called, and so that justified, bringing in all these Army Rangers, and that was the coming out party for the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC. What a dismal performance they had at that operation. But that was a justification. Oh, we have all these American college medical students that we have to rescue them. So just be prepared if we start hearing things along those lines where American missionaries in South Korea or in islands off of North Korea, or what happened a lot in the past was there was this tit for tat border conflict going on between the South Korean military and the North Korean military, where they would have all these incursions going back and forth. And one of these conflicts was about a tree. You know, the U.S. had planted a tree in, if memory serves, I could be wrong about this, I'm going by memory, but they planted a tree in what the North Koreans considered their territory, and this was all coming out of Western media, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. And so supposedly North Korean troops came down, killed the American soldiers that were planting the tree, cut them up with axes and hatchets and whatnot, and then the Americans retaliated in kind. Plus, you have all these tunnels that go back and forth between North and South Korea. So, we might see something along those lines where American troops positioned just south of the 30th parallel come under fire, right? They're killed in a suicide attack or something from North Korean troops. Or American missionaries. And so many of these missionaries are, you know, Mormon, whether they're Mormon missionaries or, you know, other denominations of these Abrahamic religions, so many of them that work abroad, whether they realize it or not, are CIA intelligence assets, at least some of the key players in those missionary, you know, Christian organizations. So many of them are intelligence assets. So if we start hearing reports of like missionaries or, you know, nuns or priests or pastors or ministers or people doing some kind of Mormon kind of proselytizing overseas, and they get attacked by North Koreans or something, that could be used as a pretext. Now, they're already doing this mega pretext with these ICBMs I told you about that, you know, experts look at the video of these things coming down and say, there's no way those things can, you know, survive re-entry long enough to, you know, deliver an intact nuclear warhead. Even if they could make a nuclear warhead that fits into the nose hole cone of a ballistic missile, right? Now, there's no saying that. I'm not saying they can't do that eventually. I'm not saying that the North Koreans, given enough time, can develop an arsenal of you know, at least several 10 or more atomic weapons and be able to fit them into the, you know, the business end of an ICBM. I'm not saying that they can never pull that off. Right. The ironically, the Chinese ballistic missile capability was jump started, really kicked in a high gear because of this persecution this Chinese American rocket engineer received at the hands of the American government. The Americans were saying, "Oh, you're a commie this, you're a commie that." I think this guy, he worked for a while with or under Dr. Theodore von Karman, a guy that was known to have been involved in alien technology research, side issues, AJ says. But Iris Chang wrote a book about this. It was called Trail of the Silkworm, I think, because of the Silkworm missile. Iris Chang was the one that wrote the book about the Japanese rape of Nanking. Very good book. And then she wrote another book. I think it was her ancestor, her father, her grandfather, I think it was, that was the rocket scientist, rocket engineer who was persecuted. I think he worked for a time at Jet Propulsion Labs. I got to refer to my copy of her book. Jet Propulsion Labs, of course, was founded by Jack Parsons, adept, worked closely with L. Ron Hubbard, and Parsons was the founder. I think it was called the Agape Lodge and was a disciple of Crowley's. Anyway, that's how the Jet Propulsion Lab came into being. And if memory serves, don't quote me on this, I think that this Chinese rocket scientist worked for a while there. And eventually, all the red baiting, all the hunts, the hunt for reds under the beds, and, you know, the commie persecution, they never went after the real manipulators. They never went after the real commies, right? they just went after the people they wanted to get out of the way for the most part. That's what the McCarthy thing was all about. They never went after the real manipulators, the real commies, the real Zionists. No, they went after anyone who was in the way, right? And you usually stood up to the latter. That's who they smeared as being a commie and then got rid of them, right? One way or the other. So anyway, this Chinese-American ancestor of Iris Chang gets persecuted. He leaves the country and winds up working for the Chinese communists and helps develop their missile systems and, you know, gets involved in their missile development programs. F you very much. Thank you. So let's keep that in mind. Okay, they've already been trying to scare the hell out of us with these rockets and missiles that just, you know, are incapable of carrying nuclear warheads, and let alone the fact that they're probably not capable of at this time of creating nuclear warheads for missiles. So if that doesn't scare people into submission and they're saying, yes, you know, let's go to war, it goes back to what Dickhead Cheney talked about. We only need 35% to go along with our agenda. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but what I think he meant was, 35% of the TV news droolers who believe whatever Fox News, CNN, and all the other fake news outlets say, right? 35% of them. This is the same dickhead Cheney that I spoke about a moment earlier, you know, not a moment ago, about dressing up U.S. Navy SEALs as Iranian sailors. Anyway, Cheney said, and don't go out deer hunting with Cheney, by the way. Cheney said we only need 35% of support, from the TV viewing audience, because that's going to be enough. And not that they need anyone's support, not that they even care, really, when it comes down to it, get down to brass tacks, what the TV news droolers think, but just to provide that fig leaf of legitimacy to justify why they're doing this, that, or the other. If they can get the 35% to go along with it, and I talked earlier about how even people who know there's a conspiracy, even that know that there's a New World Order, how their passions get inflamed when the war drums start beating. Oh, the North Koreans, before that. Oh, you know, the Iraqis, Saddam Hussein, oh, Osama bin Laden, right? How easy it is to inflame the passions of these people. Because, you know, it's not just the programming that they were subjected to in this life. Some of these people, they've just been minions and foot soldiers, henchmen for many lives. You know, I mean, because if they had lives where they were higher command, not just a functionary, right? You know, relatively low mid-range command, where they're still just order followers, but high enough. And in the U.S. military scheme of things, you don't even need to be a colonel to see the manipulation going on around you. You just have to have your eyes open, and you can't, you know, fall for all the dogma and BS. But, you know, if they got entities working through them, and they're having to fight through all the programming and, you know, all the GMO food and all the fluoridization, if that's a word going on. Yeah, I can understand. It's hard for these people to think clearly. So, once again, when the lizard part of the brain is activated by the endless, incessant beating of the war drums, I can see how their passions can be inflamed. So, let's keep an eye out for that, for some provocation to justify going to war with North Korea. And we'll see if it's a stepladder approach, if they decide just initially to target the source of these alleged North Korean provocations. If they say, oh, there's a small island off the coast of North Korea that, you know, they harass these Japanese fishermen and, you know, there happened to be like a Japanese-American national on board, yada, yada, yada. Any excuse will do. And maybe, you know, gradually, incrementally, they start off by just attacking maybe the base or maybe the naval shore installation from which these alleged attacks, you know, came from, or the air base where these alleged attacks came from. So it's kind of a tit-for-tat thing. Okay, they do this, well, they tell the world anyway, they did this to our, you know, ocean-going civilian, oceanographic research vessel, whatever the case may be. So we have to protect American interests. We have to protect our citizens, yada, 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 right? Think of the Glomar Explorer, that that billionaire, eccentric CIA asset Howard Hughes had, that they used the Glomar Explorer, which is, you know, ostensibly a civilian oceanographic research vessel, which was co-opted by naval intelligence. They used it to pull up off the seabed this obsolete Soviet submarine, right? And they went to all this expense and effort to do that, but really it didn't garner any useful intelligence. About the only good thing that came out of it was that they let the Soviet authorities know that they buried, you know, they recovered some of the corpses of the Soviet sailors and had an official ceremony burying them at sea, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the only good thing, I guess, that came out of pulling, you know, partial, you know, this part, the partial remains of this obsolete Soviet sub off the seabed, right, with a Glomar Explorer, this oceanographic vessel. So they can go any number of ways with this. You know, research vessel, civilian research vessel, missionaries, you know, students abroad, travelers abroad, maybe some high-ranking mucky-muck, you know, someone in his family gets harmed or, you know, thwarts a kidnapping, and then they trace it back to North Korean intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many different ways they can do this because they're not getting, at this point, what they want out of the, you know, oh, the North Koreans are going to nuke us, right? And even if there is a nuke that goes off somewhere in the CONUS, continental U.S., it's questionable, to say the least, that it came from the North Koreans, right? It's highly questionable, but these people, when they're in their lizard brains, because of the fear that's been drummed into them by the incessant beating of the war drums and the bullfrog's chorus of terrorism, fear, North Korea, et cetera, they're prepared to give away, you know, give what's left of their rights, right? They're prepared to believe anything because it's reassuring. Because they feel, okay, I'm going to be protected, my family's going to be protected by the government. When it's quite the opposite, it's the other way around. It's like they never had a government, actually. They've just had corporations rule over them in the guise of governments. So let's see how this plays out. And these provocations needn't take place only in the Far East, around or in North Korea. They could take place, and there's well over 100 U.S. military bases and installations all over the world. And any one of them, they could create this false flag pretext justification for war against North Korea. And they may go, when they do decide to retaliate, they may start off incrementally, like I said, you know, tit for tat, and then allow it to just build its own momentum and then, you know, have more and more tit for tat, strike, counter strike, retaliation, et cetera, et cetera. Because by now, they probably have a lot of U.S. spec ops, special operations forces in and around North Korea. And let's see how that goes. Also, Taiwan. We can't forget Taiwan, the Chinese nationalists there, who still hold on to the dream or, you know, the fantasy of reclaiming mainland China after the Chinese nationalists were double-crossed by the U.S. After World War II. Now, a lot of the realists in the nationalist Chinese government, they know better. They know it's, you know, a pipe dream to think they can ever reclaim mainland China, but some still harbor that illusion, right? So, because we saw this during the Korean War, where MacArthur tried to get nationalist China in on his side, not so much the American United Nations side, but, you know, MacArthur's bungling during, you know, post Incheon landing September 1950. It all went haywire, you know, when they crossed over the 30th parallel and were driving, heading straight for the Manchurian Chinese border, right? And everything went to hell when the Communist Chinese armies counterattacked, and in order to save face, right, MacArthur could swear up and down that he cared about his troops, yada, 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 but really it was reputation he was trying to save. That was like the second great disaster of military arms that MacArthur had bungled into, right? The first was allowing his air forces in the Philippines to be taken out 8-9 hours after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. MacArthur's Army Air Forces were conveniently parked in the planes wingtip to wingtip on a lot of the airfields in the Philippines, and the Japanese, you know, came along and they said thank you very much and wiped out his air force on the ground, right? Anyway, back to the Korean War. After the Chinese communists intervened, which, you know, there was ample intelligence that the Chinese communist armies were already in North Korea, right? But anyway, the Chinese attack routed the United Nations. Remember, the forces, the American forces, were part of a United Nations force in Korea, right? And they were engaging Chinese communist forces. And when the United Nations forces, mostly the U.S. 8th Army and then the U.S. 10th Corps, made up mostly of the 1st Marine Division and an attached U.S. Army division, when they were sent reeling back from northern North Korea, MacArthur, in order to save his military reputation, did something that some would consider outlandish because, you know, generals aren't supposed to make political decisions. He went and visited Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek in what was then known as Formosa, we call Taiwan now, and tried to get him to conduct a bunch of raids. Now, actually, what had been going on for some time by then was, you know, the CIA, you know, working through their nationalist Chinese flunkies, had been attacking a series of communist Chinese islands, you know, off the mainland Chinese coast. But those were pinpricks, right? More of the tit-for-tat kind of stuff. What MacArthur had in mind was like a full-scale invasion across the Formosa Straits from Formosa / Taiwan into mainland China, because he felt that it would take the pressure off of his army in North Korea and the Korean Peninsula. And of course, Truman and others blew their top, right? They saw MacArthur meddling in politics and, you know, expanding the war to include the Chinese. Well, the Chinese were already involved, the Communist Chinese. Their armies were streaming down from Manchuria. They had Communist Chinese air bases in Manchuria, which were flying around what they called Mig Alley, the Manchurian, the Yalu River Valley there, where U.S. Navy and you know, United Nations fighter planes were battling it out with Communist Chinese MiG-15s, and also, from what I understand, they were battling it out with Soviet pilots flying MiG-15s. So they were already engaging the Chinese communists and the Russians, you know, at some levels. And MacArthur, to save his military reputation, wanted to expand the war and get, you know, the nationalist Chinese involved. So the point of relevance, fast-forwarding today, because that whole place is one friggin' hotspot, a whole area where it's just a tinderbox waiting to go up. I wouldn't be surprised if at some level there were hotheads within the neocons that wanted to get the nationalist Chinese involved just to really piss off the Chinese communists. The Chinese communists are trying to do everything they can to stop a full-fledged war from going on, because they have the, you know, death by a thousand cuts strategy. You know what I mean? They know that, and I was talking to Masaki Miyagawa about this, that the Russians, the Chinese communists, etc., they know that the U.S. is in its death throes. They know that the economy is tanking. They know that the petrodollar has only got so much longer to go, and that's why there's this rush to create this big, well, expand this wars, because it's the only way to keep the petrodollar going. So many countries have now shifted away from the fiat currency, US petrodollar, as a reserve currency. Putin is openly talking about setting up his own banking system outside of the Rothschild-controlled banking system. Like I said earlier, this was reported in Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, the Brad Pitt lookalike, who runs the Zero Hedge website. Those of you that go to that website and look at the avatar, you know what I'm making a joke out of. So, and it must always be understood, all these machinations, all this manipulation, it's these negative forces working through all these hybridized minions, right? They're on autopilot. They're very much like automatons. Many of these people have nanobots and AI, the demiurgic AI working through them already. That's why they keep doing all these things. They lost or never had a connection to organic source. So they're doing things that are anti-life. They're doing things that just are anti-nature, anti-earth, anti-humanity, tip there, right? This is what the surface level types will never figure out. That it's not just power mad bankers. This is not, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And the energy streaming in through the galactic center that are routed through the constellation of Leo, Sirius, our sun is running head on into these negative energies that are spewing out from these lower dimensions, right? Remember, I talked about the merger between the third and fourth dimension. And we have to, like a cosmic chess player, we have to be X number of moves ahead. We have to think in a higher dimensional, fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional perspective, not get caught up in all the phony drama and phony intrigue. There's enough of that to go around. And it's not phony, insofar as that people are really suffering, people are really dying, and animals and the planet itself is suffering cruel blows, all kinds of cruelties inflicted upon the life forms of this planet, on this planet, and the planet itself. I'm not minimizing that or downplaying that. I'm talking about embracing these energies streaming in that are going to uplift us, because what it's going to do is it's going to buffer us and strengthen us for what's coming down the pike, right? Let's not lose sight of the fact that, right, when the curtain rises, when the balloon goes up, the old saying that, hey, mentally, spiritually, energetically, physically, we gotta be ready to go. We need to get ourselves in that state of mind, state of being, spiritual muscle flexing, that whatever comes down the pike, we'll be able to meet it head on, overcome any and all challenges, not by brute force, but by, using our innate strategic tactical skills, and just really think like an operator, right? We got to get out of this mode where we're researchers and we're investigators. No, we're operators. So many of you here, right? So many of you of the feline persuasion, the Lyran persuasion, you're being bathed in these Lionsgate portal energies. Revel in it. It's like, just soak it all in, baby. It's strengthening you. It's making you stronger. In the privacy of your own home, roar, growl. Nobody needs to know you're a real player, an operator, right? It's better if people don't know, right? Because you took on the task of operating deep in enemy territory, right? It's like, okay, this is the gulag of the cosmos. This is the Soviet prison system made manifest in a 3D merging with the fourth D reality, right? You could have chosen to wind up in any kind of planet or star system or somewhere else. Instead, by hook and crook, you wound up here. Even those of you that maybe were ETs in a past life and you were shot down, or craft was shot down, or you crash landed, or whatever the case may be, then you were sucked into this soul harvesting, soul recycling agenda, and then now you start coming back hatched into this earthly plane as a human, a hybridized human, over and over again. At some level, I believe that at some level, you chose to do this. So here you are. look at this from the standpoint of a higher dimensional strategist playing a real life game of strategic cosmic chess. And the stakes can't get any higher, folks. We either dismantle this soul harvesting, rapidly turning into an AI, cyborg, AI, friggin' Borg nightmare, or we don't, right? And so this is when we got to stop falling for all these distractions, whether it's the Chicken Little of, oh, you know, Nibiru is going to land on my rooftop, or it's going to be, you know, all these wars and the North Koreans are attacking and yada, yada, yada. Be aware of all these different challenges and threats. This is a multiple threat environment. It's a multiple dimensional environment. And be glad that you're here, that you can make a meaningful difference. You have a huge cheering section, folks. But this cheering section, you can feel them. You can feel the impressions emanating from them. They come from a higher dimension, you know, higher spiritually evolved realms. That's where your cheering section is. That's where you're getting a lot of your guidance and also your connection to source, of course, two sides of the same coin. So revel in that. There's a difference between having confidence and being boastful. Okay, boastful people, they just have amped up egos, which means they're stuck in their headspace, and the ego activation just plugs them further into this matrix simulation, further into this lower density, lower dimensional consciousness. That's boastfulness. There's a difference between self-confidence, quiet self-confidence, and boastfulness. And a lot of people in this field don't seem to know the difference, right? Anyhow, reached the end of this week's segment of Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. And if you like what we do, you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we will see you next time. Bye for now.